Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. It's not unusual anymore to see people driving who are talking on the phone, texting, eating, or even putting on makeup. There are all sorts of studies showing that such activity is distracting and in many cases impedes the driver's ability to drive safely as much as alcohol does. Driving sometimes seems secondary to this multitasking. It can be and has been dangerous and deadly. We are all familiar with the story of two sisters from Collinsville, Jessica and Kelly Yule, killed in a crash with Illinois State Trooper Matt Mitchell. I'm Don Marsh. The girl's mother, Kim Schlau, joins us in studio as we discuss distracted driving. She is an advocate for safer police driving tactics and in-car cell phone use. She is also executive director of the Jessica and Kelly Yule Memorial Foundation. Also in studio is Officer Don Jackwin, an instructor at the St. Louis County and Municipal Police Academy. Carl Streckfuss is a Highway Safety Unit Officer with the St. Louis County Police Department. Before we begin, a couple of quick facts. 3,331 people were killed in 2010 in distracted driving accidents in this country. 30% of the crashes in Missouri involve distracted driving. Folks in studio, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Very important subject on today's program. Kim, I'm going to start with you, and I know it has to be painful for you to go through this, but the tragedy in your family is perhaps the worst example any of us can think of what can happen with distracted driving. But could you kind of give us the overview of that particular incident?
Sure. It was the Friday after Thanksgiving of November 23rd, 2007, and my two daughters, Jessica, who was 18, Kelly, who was 13. They were coming back from their dad's, who lived in Muskoka, Illinois. They had had family pictures taken that morning, and they were coming back to Collinsville. Jessica had to work that afternoon. The trooper was responding to a call, actually going to Muskoka to a call, and he'd been disregarded from that call, but he claims he didn't hear that. He was on his phone. He had been on his mobile computer. He was driving in excess of 100 miles an hour, 126. At the time of impact, he crossed the median and struck Jessica's car, killing both her and Kelly at the scene.
You're sitting between two police officers, and
yes.
I've read many articles about this incident and all the litigation that followed it. And one of the things that keeps coming up is that you should really dislike police officers.
There's no reason to judge all police officers by the actions of one officer. And I do, when I do my presentations to the officers, I do say that because I don't feel that all of law enforcement should be judged by the actions, just like, you know, prejudice against, you know, any career, any group. That's not how I was raised. But in doing these presentations, I have met hundreds of officers who are just fantastic and who do their job safely every day. Sadly, those are the ones you don't hear about.
And you're sitting between two of those officers.
Two very good officers.
Right,
yes, they are great.
Don Jackwin, let me turn to you with regard to what you thought when you heard this story. Every police officer, probably in the country, knows this story.
Well, shortly after the accident, our chief reached out to Kim and asked her to come speak to our recruits about the incident. So her program was going on before I became an instructor at the academy, and my sergeant, Brad Kelling, came up to me and said, hey, this lady Kim Schlau comes in and talks to the recruits. I didn't know much about it. So I got to say I was floored the first time I got to see her presentation. I really didn't know what to expect. And as you said, I kind of thought that she would dislike me or dislike what I stood for because of what happened to her daughters. And I was really surprised of how pro-police she is. She understands that what happened to her daughters was the result of one individual's actions. And her presentation, I've probably seen it over a dozen times now, never gets easier to watch. She usually comes in with more pictures, newer pictures of her daughters, and you could tell that it affects her as she talks about them, which it should. And her speech, the 30 to 40 minutes she's with our recruits or with our officers, is really an eye-opener for veteran officers and rookie police officers and recruits that they're not going to get from a PowerPoint presentation that I give over vehicle dynamics or statistics that I could throw out about crashes. This is heartfelt, this is emotional, and this is real. And the benefit that she brings to the academy in her presentation is just unbelievable, and I'm grateful that she's willing to do that after what happened.
Carl Streckfuss, can you tell me what your thoughts were when you heard about this tragedy?
Well, anytime you hear about a tragedy like that and a police officer is involved and at fault, it just, your heart goes out to the victims because it's a tragedy that could have been avoided. This wasn't a situation where a bad guy did something. This was a situation where a police officer made a bad mistake or a couple of bad mistakes. So you feel horrible for the survivors, for the victims. But you also it's a double whammy because you feel horrible for now. The public's going to be looking again at police officers. It's a bad example, and it's going to be in the news a lot. And it's just for those who are don't like police to begin with, it's just more ammunition for them to pick on us.
But, you know, we as the public really should be taking a lot closer look at ourselves because you have one police officer in a situation like the one just described, and you have thousands of motorists. You're on the street. Tell me what you're seeing, the kinds of things you see in terms of distracted driving.
I see anything from people driving and being distracted by their children in the back seat to people reading a book on the steering wheel while they're driving down the highway, people eating food and drinking while they're driving. Cell phones are rampant, whether they're talking on the phone, texting, checking email, checking their personal, whether it's Facebook or whatever social media site they're checking.
What can you do about it?
Well, you know, there aren't any laws right now against using your phone while you're driving. There is a law against texting. However, you have to be under 21 for that law to apply to you. And it's kind of like the seatbelt law. They make it, you have to wear the seatbelt in the front but not in the back, as if you're going to be magically protected in the back seat in a crash. It's very difficult to enforce the texting law that we have in place because we have to first identify that they are texting and not just dialing a phone number. Second, we have to identify that they're under 21. And we have done some things to try and enforce it. We have had police officers positioned on traffic islands, dressed as highway workers, talking on a radio, looking for people who are texting as they come through an intersection. They haven't been very successful, though, for the reasons that I just explained. Mm-hmm. So what we could do, however, is enforce the laws that are out there. I was talking to Officer Jackwin on the way in. Sometimes police officers get into a certain mindset. We're out looking for people who are impaired. So we may be out at 10 o'clock at night looking for somebody who's swerving. We see somebody swerving. We stop them for a lane violation. We come up thinking they may be drunk. They may be high. We contact them. We're looking for those bloodshot, glassy eyes. We're trying to smell odor of alcohol. And they tell us, oh, I'm sorry, officer. I was just on the phone. I didn't realize I swerved out of my lane. And what does the officer do? Oftentimes, they're looking for a drunk, and they say, oh, just keep it in the lanes, be more careful, and they walk back to their car. What they could be doing is write them a lane violation ticket and let them know, listen, the reason I'm giving you this and not a warning is because you're on the phone, and just help them understand it's very dangerous.
Well, Don Jackwin, from what I've read and been reading over the years, being on that phone is almost the same thing as being drunk. You are impeded that much.
Yeah, when we talk about driving, it's also what we talk about is multitasking. Everything you need to do to be a safe driver, you need to work the gas pedals, the brakes, steer, have judgments of when you should stop and monitor other traffic. And anytime you do anything that takes away from your undivided attention of the task of driving, it's going to make you more of a danger to not only us as police officers, because no other profession drives as much as we do, but to other motorists and anybody who's in the car with you.
Kim, I know you're working a lot with police officers and police departments, but what about the legislators? I mean, we've just heard that most states have very, very weak laws when it comes to distracted driving issues. Are you doing any work in this area?
I do some work with Jennifer Friedman Smith, who was with the distracted driving advocacy, and she works very, very hard to work on legislation in different states. She's working in very hard in Texas right now, trying to get those laws put into place. But as Officer Strickfus was saying, that, you know, it's the law in Missouri is you have to be texting and you have to be under 21. And that's, you know, that's hard to enforce because it's very vague on that. You know, you can't pull somebody over if they're checking Facebook because it's not a text. So with legislation like this, you do, sadly, you have to start small. And then you have to keep pushing at it and keep showing these legislators that, look, this is a problem and it's getting worse. And we need to start addressing these laws that we have in place and start pushing them to be more broad and to cover more incidents to work on getting those laws. Like the original seatbelt law in the 70s, there was no child safety seat. And now you can't leave the hospital with a baby unless you have them in a safety seat. And that's taken about 30 years to get to that point. So I would hope that it would not take 30 years for something like this to come into fruition. But I really would like to see a lot more legislatures, take a minute and say, this needs to change.
We've been talking about the Missouri law, the texting and the 21 age differential. What about Illinois? You live there. What kind of laws do they have in the books?
They do have it where you cannot be texting at all, whether you're 21 or older. But again, it's the enforcement of the law. If it says specifically texting and you say, well, I wasn't texting, I was dialing the phone, then, obviously you're not in violation of the letter of the law. However, it's the spirit of the law, I think, that people need to look into. So they really do need to be, eventually it may be to where they are banned completely in car.
Officer Streckfuss, I have to wonder, and I know many people have, what were the legislators thinking when they came up with this age cutoff line? Can you imagine?
I can't speak for the legislatures. I can only guess that they're thinking that people under 21 don't vote as much as people over 21. And so they figured if the law just affects them, or perhaps they were thinking that most people who are texting are under 21, but that law was passed many years ago, and I can tell you that people over 21 are texting just as much as people under 21. Mm-hmm. Now, the only difference is that the more miles you have under your belt, the safer driver you're going to be. People who are new to driving are distracted far more easily than people who've been driving for many years.
I have to take a break. We'll do that now. We'll come back and continue our conversation. We'll also bring in another player, if you will. Someone is going to be talking about a national campaign to deal with the kinds of situations that we're talking about in our program today. With me in studio is Officer Don Jacquin. He's an instructor at the St. Louis County Municipal Police Academy. Carl Streckfuss is Highway Safety Unit Officer with the St. Louis County Police Department. And Kim Schlau is with us. She is the mother of two daughters who were killed in an Illinois wreck, the result of distracted driving. Come back to continue our conversation. We'd also like to bring you into it. 382-8255 is the number. That's 382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. We'll take a tweet at STL on air. And if you want to reach us through Facebook, you can do that as well. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. The major wireless phone companies have joined forces to help deal with the distracted driving issue. It's called the It Can Wait campaign, and since it was unveiled almost a month ago, a number of commercial enterprises have come on board, including companies like Walmart and Best Buy, and several government agencies as well. It's a national advertising campaign. The message is, texting while driving is a deadly habit that makes you 23 times more likely to be involved in a crash. Joining us now to talk about it is John Sondag, president of AT&T in Missouri. John, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, good morning, Don. Appreciate the opportunity.
How did all this get started?
Well, this started, Don, really a couple of years ago when we continued to see, the growth in texting and quite, honestly seeing some of the very bad statistics on the number of accidents being caused by, people driving while texting. And so we unveiled really last August a campaign called It Can Wait, where we, decided we were going to go on the road. We were going to try to create the awareness about the dangers of texting and driving. And you mentioned on your lead-in, that just last month we were able to get three other larger wireless companies to join our effort, as well as over 200 other organizations. So we are really hoping that, this momentum continues to build so that people understand the dangers of texting while driving.
And I understand that that part of your information campaign involves one of our guests here in studio, Kim Schlau, and her situation.
Yes.
How so? How does that fit
in? Well, we obviously you know, I think real unexpected or unfortunate experiences like him experienced, you know, those type of stories are the things that need to get out, and people, I think, will impact people. And so we have had several, you know, videos and commercials and kind of PSAs where we've kind of focused on, you know, real life situations. And we're really trying to, you know, show the fact and the emotional impact that this has on families, you know, even those that really weren't the ones doing the texting. And I think that example is the only way we're really going to reach and hit the emotional level that it's going to take for people to understand the dangers of getting behind the wheel and being distracted.
And Kim, I'm sure, I'm assuming, but I'm also sure that this is something you're very much in favor of.
Yes, I thank you so much for using my daughters on Tuesday as part of the It Can Wait campaign. I was so proud to see, you know, their picture out there on a nationwide campaign bringing awareness. And as you said, they were the victims. They were not the ones. You know, Jessica was not texting while she was driving. She was hit by a distracted driver who happened to be a police officer. So thank you again. And I think this campaign is fantastic.
Don Jackwin, what about you? Does this campaign have a chance of really making a difference?
Oh, absolutely. I have a question for John, if you don't mind.
By all means.
You know, Missouri is one of only 9 states that doesn't ban texting while driving. And normally when something is put in the legislature like it has in the past in Missouri, it's gotten voted down. It's because, you know, the lawmakers are not feeling the pressure from the people who they represent. Or it's big business sometimes, such as, you know, your companies. But that's not the case in this incident. You are out there with this campaign, a wonderful campaign. Do you ever scratch your head as why it's been put into Missouri legislature a couple times and then been voted down?
Yes, that's a very good question. And actually, in Missouri, they did pass a law several years ago, but it restricts the texting and driving to just 21 and younger. So we have gone back and we've testified, and I think the entire wireless industry really has, on it makes no sense to us on why you just limit this to people 16 to 21 and why, you know, take that restriction off and toughen the rules. You know, all I can say is there's a lot on the outstate lawmakers. They have a big concern about, you know, government, you know, trying to legislate how people run their lives. It's, you know, when we show them the statistics, you know, over 100,000 accidents a year that are caused by distracted driving while people are texting, and we show them the, you know, some of the situations and, you know, the statistics, it just blows my mind, really, that they can't recognize this danger is something that's just like speed limits and other things. You need to get behind it. So, you know, we're discouraged on that, but I will tell you that we'll go back to push this effort, and our goal is to, you know, to expand this so that it's not just restricted to 16 to 21, that it does apply to every driver.
You know, John, this involves a national simulator tour, I have read in some of the material that's been provided us. I don't understand what that is. What is that?
Okay, it's a good question. We have various simulators that we will take out to high schools. We've been doing this since last August, or to community groups, where in some cases it's actually a full car. Other times it can be a steering wheel and pedals. And it has a video screen down that basically simulates someone that's driving, and then they will receive a text from their phone, and they will look down. They will, you know, do what they do in texting, and it shows how you are, you know, your car weaves back and forth, how sometimes you slow down, how sometimes you stop or cross into intersections. And people are really amazed when they do that to really to see that, wow, that really did cause me to kind of go off the side of the road. You know, most people, it takes about 5 seconds on average to read a text. And, you know, if someone's driving 55 miles an hour, that's the same as driving blindfolded down a football field. And people really don't realize that. But the simulator, I think, really drives it home, especially when we go to the high schools and you have the kids that are more impressionable, and they kind of see that. So, you know, we are focused on continuing to do that. I will tell you that at the website, www.itcanwait.com, people can go to that and they can experience the simulator online. So that, you know, I you don't have to be at one of these events to see how this, you know, this distraction causes you to drive erratically.
And, Carl, driving erratically is something, as you've indicated, you see a lot of.
Certainly, yes.
As a result of all of this. One other thing, John, I wanted to ask you about is a drive mode app that I read about. And, again, how does that work? This is something I guess your company is involved in.
Yes, and we've been promoting that. It's a free app. It's called, drivemode.com. People can download that for free. And really how it operates is once you have that loaded on your phone and you have it turned on, when your phone's on, there's a GPS connection. It senses that when your car goes 25 miles per hour or more, it activates it. And what it does is when you receive a text or a call, you will actually not hear that. You won't hear the ringtone. You won't hear the notification. But it sends a message back to the person calling or texting you that says you are driving right now, unable to respond, but you will respond back as soon as you can. Now, that will stay in effect. Now, once you get below 25 miles an hour for 5 minutes, the mode kind of deactivates, and therefore you can look at your texts and calls. You know, and the purpose of this, and we've really found it with the young people, is that there's a lot of peer pressure for them to respond back very quickly when they get a text. And the hope on here is that with this app, that it sends the message back, it takes that pressure off them to have to look and read the message, and at the same time try to respond back while they're driving.
There's some irony here that the cell phone can be used to help alleviate this problem, obviously. You're working with other carriers on this campaign of yours. Is this app something that they can provide as well, Verizon and Sprint and some of the others?
They should be able to have that app as well, Don.
Okay. I'd like to take a call now while you're still with us. I know your time is limited, but Dennis in Overland, I believe, is going to ask a question that might relate to your line of work. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yes. We all remember when seatbelts came in and how people, first of all, they weren't that comfortable and people didn't use them. Over time, they are easier to use, and sometimes you don't have a choice. And my feeling is we probably need to do the same thing with phones, have the cell phone and your cars designed for the long haul, gradually with the cell phone having a huge button that is, fluorescent, and it's basically I'm driving. You can have it sit on your dashboard, and when the phone rings, you just reach up and press the button. And that app would be wonderful. But this way, gradually just design the phone and your cars to, eliminate the justification. There's no justification then. You just press that button. And the other thing is, legislatively, maybe we need to make it in Alex's interest nationwide to, if we can figure out a way for it to be in their interest, we might actually get it in all the states. Good luck with that. So thank you.
Dennis, thanks for the call. And John, what do you think? Do we need to redesign phones?
Well, I think a lot of this is, we work with app developers. We work, obviously, with the various phone device makers. That would have to be a concentrated effort. Everybody's on board, but to try to focus to get to that, I think that's something that can be done. We're working with car manufacturers as well, and I think over time we need to move the technology so that any type of device that you have will operate as the gentleman suggested in the car. That will take some time, obviously, and it's not completely in our hands. That's why we're really promoting, the Drive Mode app right now, because that's something that's working today. May not be perfect, but I think it should address the major concerns. Once again, it's voluntary, so you're going to have to load the app and turn it on. But I think that's why we want to get out with our campaign. This problem is not going to be terminated or addressed overnight, and it's just like drinking and driving, and the gentleman mentioned seatbelts. This is something that's going to take time. It's going to be an awareness campaign, and I think you're going to have to change public perception about the dangers of this. And our hope at AT&T, that happens sooner than later. But this is something we realize is going to take years probably to accomplish.
John, before we let you go, the two officers in the room, Officers Dreyfus and Jacqueline, were taking notes, I noticed, during your presentation here. I'll ask them if they have anything in particular that they wanted to ask you in relation to the apps or the simulator.
John, this is Carl. Wanted to say that you hit on some really important point. In order to reduce the numbers of crashes that are occurring because of this, you have to hit it threefold, not just the enforcement, but through education and awareness, which is what AT&T is joining in on. Yeah. Also engineering, which they are also joining in on, engineering of phones, like these apps, which will freeze the phone. I know that car manufacturers also, down the road, they're looking at creating safer cars where they can alert you to an obstacle in front of you or a car slowing down in front of you, which will get your attention and help prevent some of these crashes.
And Kim, anything you'd like to ask or add?
Just to say where you were talking about the seatbelts. 30 years ago, seatbelts were just starting to be legislated, and it still is a personal choice. You get in the car, you choose to put your seatbelt on or you choose to not put your seatbelt on. And I wear my seatbelt because I have seen crashes, you know, in driver's ed and personally of people who have, you know, died from being not wearing their seatbelt. So I think the phone is the same thing. I would love to see the legislation and make it, you know, a violation if you don't, if you are using your phone, just like it's a violation if you don't wear your seatbelt. But again, it's going to be a personal choice. And I think that's where we have to get people, is to be able to put these things out there and say, yes, it is a personal choice. However, there's people at home who love you and want you to go home to them. So wear your seatbelt and put down your phone so that you do have a better chance of going home to your loved ones.
I'm going to take one more call that might be relevant to John's time here. Let's bring in Rich calling from Webster Groves. Go ahead, Rich.
Hi, Don. Thank you for the time. I've never called in before, but I feel very strongly about this issue. To me, the main problem is that people have the ability to text or make phone calls while they're driving. And I think with the technology that exists right now, just a simple change of the programming could enable the phone from receiving or making text once a person is traveling over, something faster than a walking pace. And I think the legislators should be working towards that.
Rich, thanks for the call. John, do you do any work with legislators on these issues?
Yes, we do, and that's what I hear primarily in the state of Missouri. And as we discussed a little bit earlier, this issue about taking the restriction of just the age 16 to 21 and expanding that so it applies to everyone, that's something that we have talked about. We've testified for, bills have been introduced. I know Senator Ryan McKenna, who's from Jefferson County, was kind of the champion of this, but it just doesn't go anywhere. And so, once again, for whatever reasons, I can't comment on that, but we'll continue the efforts to try to get this law changed because it doesn't make sense. The statistics we've seen down is that really it's adults that, have a bigger problem with texting and driving, and they're sending the wrong message to kids in their car. So it's not just a teen problem. It's a driver problem, and that's something we just need to continue to push. And I think if we continue to do so, and unfortunately, there'll be other stories that will hit home with some of these lawmakers. Eventually, I think we'll get that law changed.
Well, I'd like to just point out before we say goodbye to you that between Memorial Day and Labor Day, that is the most dangerous time of the year for teen drivers. So this is an important conversation to be having at this time of year. John Sundag, thank you so much for being with us. We'll keep watching this program. It's getting favorable reviews from the folks here in the studio. Thanks so much for being with us.
And thanks for the time, and thanks for helping to get the word out on this important issue.
Sure. Thank you, sir. Let's go back to the phones, and this time we'll bring in Raymond calling from St. Louis. Raymond, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I was curious about whether the insurance companies have got into this, helping this problem out. They apparently charge more on your premium if you get a moving violation. So the money that they're getting because you're ticketed for something, I would think they would be able to get in on this help of trying to stop the texting, but I don't know if anybody's looked into that or not.
I'm not sure. Let's see at the table here. Anybody know what the insurance company position would be on any of this?
I don't, but he raises a great point because they are certainly invested in you driving safely.
Yeah, you would think a little break on the premium might be helpful for this entire cause, wouldn't you? Let's go back to the phones and bring in Jerry calling from O'Fallon, Missouri. Go ahead, Jerry.
Good morning.
Hi.
This is a great topic. As a motorcyclist, I am very, very interested in keeping people paying attention while they're driving. But I think there's two larger issues that are always in my mind. And the first one is we really don't have any real test for driver proficiency. And there are some people with their hands on the 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock position doing nothing else who really are not that proficient of drivers. And the elephant in the room, of course, is we have a lot of people who should not be driving, a lot of people who don't want to drive. We have our largest growing portion of the population is above 80, people whose driving skills have long eroded, and we have no alternative for them to get from point A to point B. I just spent some time in Europe, and every city there that we visited, public transportation can get you virtually two blocks from anywhere to anywhere else in the city. And I know that that's out of the scope of your conversation, but I think those are things that need to be included if we're really looking for a solution. Thank you.
Jerry, thanks for the call. Any comment from our group here? Don?
Yeah, well, it's a little off topic, as he said, but it raises a valid point. What I teach the recruits at the academy is, we have the right to have a driver retested. We have to have a reason for that. And I tell them not to be afraid to do that. Carl and I were talking on the drive down here how, people get in their cars 30 years ago to get to point A to point B, and now it's kind of like your traveling office, and it's your traveling workspace, and you can get stuff done. And like I said, anytime you take away the task of driving and everything you need to do, it's gonna be dangerous.
You know, I'll be devil's advocate here for a moment. You and Carl were talking on the way down here. Isn't having a conversation in a car a distraction?
You raise an excellent point. I was talking to Officer Jacquin. Although I teach new drivers the dangers of cell phone use, I'm not an advocate of making it illegal across the board. Those are my personal views on it. And my comment to him was, we're having this conversation as we're driving, and you can't stop people from doing that. It is certainly a distraction. It's not as large a distraction as talking on a cell phone. Talking on a cell phone when somebody's not there in the car with you, there's an extra mental step that takes place there that does delay your reaction times more. However, I've been an advocate on the education, making people more aware. If people – I know there's a lot of – I have five children, and my two oldest are old enough to drive now. And I have to stop my wife every once in a while from trying to call them when they're running late. I said, don't do it, because they're in the car right now. You're calling them, they're going to answer the phone. And parents need to be aware of that as well and be good examples for their kids. We need to get to the point where when you receive a phone call and you can tell they're on a cell phone, we need to be shocked by that. And we need to say, wait, are you in the car? And they need to be embarrassed by that. We need to get the public's recognition to that level so that they make that choice. Kim made a great point. This is about choice. And you can't legislate dangers away. But if you educate people and get people making the right choices, you'll have a huge impact.
Which is why I was glad that John included Kelly and Jessica in his campaign, because if that doesn't get your attention on this issue, then nothing will.
I sometimes wonder what we all did before we all had cell phones. We somehow managed to get along okay. I have to take another break. You just heard from Officer Don Jacquin of the St. Louis County Police Department. Kim Schlau is with us in studio. She lost her two daughters in a distracted driving incident a couple of years ago. Carl Streffers is with us, the Highway Safety Unit Officer with the St. Louis County Police Department. Back to continue with our conversation on distracted driving, and we'll take your calls when we come back. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back. We're talking about distracted driving. I want to bring up something that came out just yesterday. It was in the news, and I hope you saw it, in which it was pointed out by a AAA study that hands-free driving is not necessarily safer. The report shows hands-free texting and email is even more dangerous than talking on a cell phone. Does that make sense to you, Don Jacquin?
It does. It doesn't. That study does not surprise me. again, you got to we do what we can as law enforcement officers with the laws that are in place. And I tell the recruits, this should matter to you because we drive for a living. We're in our cars. That's where we do our business. We lose more officers every single year in the line of duty to vehicle crashes than any other form of fatality, including firearms. So I tell them, this is why it should matter to you and in your personal life. Like Carl said, I have two kids. They're not of the driving age yet, but believe me, when they get there, we're going to talk about the dangers. So I think that they try and pass it and say, well, hands-free, you're going to be safer, and the studies are coming out now to say that's not the case. That should hit the legislators even harder of why they should pass this ban.
Kim and Carl, it seems to me that with the wonderfulness of all the new cars that are being built in this country, that they are actually building in distractions these days. I mean, they're making it a lot easier to do the kinds of things that we're saying people shouldn't do while they're driving. Do you see it that way?
You're absolutely right. Carl, actually, I'm going to steal his line. He said they're like mobile living rooms. You know, they're luxurious. You have DVD players, obviously not for the driver, but for your children, you have DVD players in the back. Well, the driver's the one probably who has to put the DVD into the player. There's a distraction. You have navigation. A lot of vehicle manufacturers do have it so that if you are in motion, you cannot be entering an address onto your navigation system, but some of them don't. You know, and then you have your phones, and a lot of cars now have the sync technology where your car will actually sync with your phone and read you or tell you your text message. There is, and you know, technology is a fabulous thing, but you have to also make the decision to know when it is a good thing to use and when it is a good thing to not let it distract you from the task at hand.
Carl Streckfuss, I have an email here from Mary. I work with busy people who are trying to use every minute to get things done at work as well as in their personal lives, which often means that time in the car is used to make phone calls and text. Almost every person who does so says they must do it. No amount of productivity, no business deal, no task is worth the taking of a human life.
That is true, and I think that's why it's important to have Kim here to help everybody remember the gravity of the situation, and nobody here can really understand that as well as Kim does. If you don't experience that personal loss, you simply don't look at it the same way. And the NTSB recommended outlawing cell phone use a year or two ago when they looked at a crash that happened in front of Six Flags. And the public outcry was huge on that because everyone uses their – I say everyone. Over 90% of people who drive use phones while they drive. Many people conduct business. We all have very busy schedules. I mentioned I have five children. So whether it's calling your wife or your husband trying to determine who's putting dinner on, who's getting Junior to the soccer game, people are out there using their phones. Again, myself, I'm not an advocate of outlawing it altogether. What I am an advocate of is – for those police officers who are listening, when you see somebody swerving out of a lane and they're on a phone, write that ticket. Don't cut that break. Write the ticket and explain to them it's because they were on the phone.
The other thing I think that comes up, too, is that civilians, you know, using their phones are distracted. And we're impeding not only ourselves, but we're also impeding police officers who might be trying to get somewhere. They don't hear the siren to pull over, or you know, they are on the phone and they pull out in front of an officer who is trying to get somewhere. You know, it happens, and we are a danger to ourselves and others at that point.
Let me. I've got three emails here, and Don Jacquin, I'll throw them your way and get some response from other folks. You may not like what I'm reading here. Ken emails, what can a citizen do when they see police officers driving while talking on a cell phone? We have a tweet from Chris. Many times I see police officers driving while texting on their cell phone or typing on their onboard computers. Follow up, are there legitimate reasons for officers to be on their cell phone while driving?
Well, I'm obviously not going to answer for every police department in the area, but I can tell you that our department takes great strides to educate the officers about the dangers of being distracted. We have mandatory training semi-annually that all police officers on our department will come back for continuing education training. We recently purchased two driving simulators to the cost of $180,000, and we're putting recruits and detectives in those and officers were constantly telling them, you just got to make smart decisions. You have to make smart decisions while you're driving, because it could affect not only you, but the public we're sworn to serve and protect. So I know that that's always going to be a case where people will say, well, yeah, what about police officers? But there is no standard operating procedure policy that bans it as of yet. I could see it coming down the line for police departments across the nation. But the truth be told, it's going to be a personal decision, just as Kim talked about in your personal life. And I want to point out that for those of you who haven't seen Kim's presentation, as law enforcement officers, we actually have to go to the houses sometimes and knock on the doors and tell loved ones that they're not coming home. And the state troopers who had to respond to Kim's house that day knocked on the door, and they asked her who would have been in the car with Kelly. And because Kelly was old enough. Jessica was driving the car. She had a license. So they found her license at the scene. But Kelly was younger. She wouldn't have had a license just yet. And they actually had to ask her, who would have been in the car with your daughter? Mm-hmm. And she had to point to a picture on the table and say her sister. And as a law enforcement officer, that's the worst thing we can do is go mm-hmm. to somebody's house and knock on the door, regardless of the incident. And that's why it's going to be education, education, education. And we strive at the St. Louis County Police Department to stress safe driving, because if you think about it, no matter what you're going to, a pursuit or emergency response, and we're going fast, if we can't get there to help that person, something happens to us on the way to that crash, you've just doubled our workload. Now we have to come take care of you and anybody that's hurt, and we have to go to your original scene that you were heading to. So we try and stress the importance of driving safe, get there as fast as you can, but safely, to us not to hinder life or public property of somebody else.
You know, Kim, I can't imagine going through the scenario that was just described here, but at what point did you decide that you were going to try to make something positive out of this horrible situation?
Well, from I don't want to say day one, but from shortly after my daughters were killed, you know, I was approached about doing things, you know, to keep their name out there. And of course, this is before we knew all of the details of that crash. And we started fundraisers for scholarship funds, which we do still have in place. And then in 2009, I was approached by Chief Tim Fitch of the St. Louis County Police to come in and talk to his cadets. And he said, I think a personal account of what you went through will really hit home with these officers much more than these trainers standing up here and just telling them stories and showing them pictures. Being able to have me in there and them to be able to question me and to see me and to talk to me and see that, you know, I am someone that they might have, you know, passed in the grocery store or something, but then they know the background. And it really does bring a personal account to them. And so now I do that quite a bit. I was just in Las Vegas yesterday addressing the Las Vegas Metro Police. I travel throughout the country to do this, and I always get a really good response from the officers because they say, you know, we've been on that side. We've been on the other side of the door. One officer actually told me he'd rather be shot at than make that knock on the door. So I really hope that this makes an impression on the officers, whether they've been on duty for 10 minutes or whether they've been on for 30 years.
No, I'm sure it does. And good for the chief for calling you in, and good for you for doing it, because you're probably helping to save a lot of grief out there.
I hope so.
Anything, Carl, you wanted to add to that, or shall I move on?
No, you can go on.
Yeah, I kind of – it's a tough act to follow, isn't it? Let's bring in John calling from Hazelwood. John, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering if you had any information on comparing distraction while talking on a cell phone versus talking with a passenger in the seat beside you.
Well, I think we covered that just a little bit earlier. There is a distractive element to that, but it's not nearly the same as being on a cell phone. Carl Streifus?
One aspect of speaking to someone else who's in the car with you is you have two sets of eyes looking out down the road. So when I was driving here with Officer Jacqueline, and I'm talking to him, and I may be looking at him occasionally, he's looking out the front window occasionally as well. So you have another person say, hey, look out, as opposed to when you're talking to someone on the phone, that person's not there in the car with you. And what happens is there's an extra mental process that takes place there, or that has to take place there. And it's human nature. When you have someone on the phone, we tend to give them priority. I'm sure we've all had that experience before. Somebody in the grocery line in front of us, they're talking on the phone when they should be talking to the person checking them out, and they're giving priority to the person on the phone. The same thing when they're driving down the road. When there's somebody sitting next to you and somebody pulls out in front of you, you automatically stop talking and you hit the brakes. Everybody sees a car just pulled out in front of you. But when you have someone on the phone, your mind is elsewhere. And one of the things that we have to understand is when driving, we talked about hands-free versus handheld. Now, there's other studies that show that hands-free is slightly better than handheld. However, it's not just the physical distraction of dialing. It's the mental distraction that takes place. You have to visually see the threat in front of you. We'll say you're on Highway 270 doing 75 miles an hour. All of a sudden, for no reason, traffic comes to a stop in front of you. You have to, first of all, see that traffic is coming to a stop. And then there's a mental process that takes place. Your brain has to recognize that that's a threat. Then it has to get over that physical response it has to the threat and come up with a response plan, such as stepping on the brakes. Then it has to physically step on the brakes. All of those processes take portions of a second, and that adds up.
And you've gone 100 feet or more?
It could mean the difference between screeching to a halt or smashing into the car in front of you.
Yeah. Kim, your case, the case of your daughter's death and the follow-up and Officer Mitchell, has received an awful lot of publicity, but not everybody will know the ultimate outcome. Where is he now?
At last I heard he has moved to Texas, and he recently applied to have his driver's license reinstated. As part of his punishment, his driver's license was suspended for 24 months. And he appealed, and that appeal was denied. And then he was able to reappeal that, and it was in April, just recently denied again. He does have 90 days then to reapply for his driver's license, and he can do that until his driver's license is reinstated.
I know he's obviously no longer with the department.
Right.
How else was he punished? Did he do time?
He had 30 months of probation and a 24-month suspended license.
So he never spent a day behind bars?
No.
Right.
If I could.
Go ahead.
There was a young man in Massachusetts last year who caused a car crash because he was texting while driving, and someone lost their life in that crash. That young man was charged and convicted of manslaughter, much the same as if he had been intoxicated and caused a death. And that's something, again, where we have present laws on the books which could be used. A court would have to find that, number one, texting and driving is reckless behavior. The person realized it was reckless behavior and made a conscious decision to disregard the risk, did it anyway. Someone lost their life. They could be convicted of manslaughter under those circumstances.
There's still a lot of work, Kim, to be done.
Yes. Yes, there is. And I really do hope that this education, not just the education and the training that I work with the police to do, but campaigns like AT&T's It Can Wait, other companies. And again, it is a personal decision. I was personally affected by this. And I think that, until you are personally affected by it, you really don't realize how dangerous it is. But I think anyone who has ever used their phone in the car and has had a close call, that can be a personal effect. And if you do have that and you think, wow, I could have killed myself, I could have killed others, if you think about that and you really do take it to heart, then that should guide your decision the next time that your phone rings or you think, oh, I need to text so-and-so. Just don't. It's not worth it. No, nothing is that important that it cannot wait. And I know that I'm kind of paraphrasing AT&T's campaign there, but it's true. It's not worth it. And if you do want any more information on Jessica and Kelly or on their foundation, you can go to their website. That is JessicaAndKellyUhl.com.
All right, and we'll get a link to that on our website as well.
Thank you.
It'll be up a little later in the day. We're going to have to end it there, but it's a good place to end it with your very eloquent statement. Kim Schlau, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Officer Don Jacquin, thank you so much for being with us. And Officer Carl Streckfuss, great to have you with us as well. I hope you all stay safe and be careful in those cars, everybody. You know, pedestrians have to be careful, too. They have nothing going on except maybe somebody coming at them with a cell phone in their hand. So everybody be careful out there. Join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape when he'll talk with Terrence Blanchard and Denise Graves about Opera Theater of St. Louis's world premiere of Blanchard's opera, Champion. Steve will also take a look at Muddy Water Dance Company's concert at the Two Hill and the League of American Orchestras Conference hosted by the St. Louis Symphony next week. Monday on St. Louis On the Air, we'll talk about a change that is coming July 1st that will affect anyone who gets medical durable equipment through Medicare. Then in tribute to Father's Day, we'll take a look at good advice from fathers, and we'd like your input. To participate, send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. Include your first name, where you live, and the best piece of advice your father ever gave you. That email address again is talk@stlpublicradio.org. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Hannah Durham, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.